Welcome to A Link to the Cast, the best video games podcast that you're listening to right now. This is episode 6, and it's a cracker. Coming up, we have reviews of Wii Sports Resort, the biggest selling game in the UK right now. We're also talking about Wolfenstein on PS3, and Brian Shelfer's got another Xbox 360 to bring us review-wise as well. We'll also look at the big stories happening in the world of video games right now, and we'll hear what happened when Ricardo met triple Olympic medal winner Chris Hoy. There is sort of a games link in there somewhere, I promise. Thanks for everyone, by the way, who's been in touch with us, and thanks for bearing with us over the last few months or so. We are now back after the swine flu outbreak and bigger and better than ever. Now, let's reacquaint ourselves with the team. I'm Mick. I look at all things Nintendo, both on Wii and DS. There's Ricardo, our PS3 man. How's it going?
Howdy. All right.
Good stuff. And Brian Shelf is the man with the Xbox 360 hat on. How's it going, Brian?
It's going good. I don't know if I'm going to be totally Xbox 360, but can I just pick Rick up on something? I know people were thrilled last time, the little bit of information I gave out about Rick, about the only man I've known ever to have fainted whilst lying down. Now, you told us it was while you were having a blood transfusion, Rick, right? I've heard that it was while you were having your hairy back waxed. Is that true?
Sorry, Brian.
Jesus Christ.
I'm not even sure I want
He's gone.
He's vanished.
Ricardo has just left the studio.
Oh dear.
Right, okay.
It's been brewing for a bit, that though, hasn't it?
This is A Link to the Cast. We're going to play a little jingle now. Hopefully, we'll all be here when we come back. Okay, well, we're back. This is A Link to the Cast. I'm Mick. Brian Shelf is also here. We've got a new member of the cast team, I'm delighted to say. Well, I can welcome along Jay, who's our new PS3 man. Jay, how's it going?
It's going fine, Mick. How are you?
Thanks for stepping in last minute.
Oh, no worries.
For people who are wondering, Jay's a bit of a dreamboat. He's modelled in his time. The ladies love a bit of Jay. He's from Bootle in Liverpool, and he's going to be our PS3 reviewer. Rick had been reviewing Wolfenstein on PS3. You're going to be reviewing Wolfenstein on PS3
I'll
instead.
I'll step into the breach, yeah. No worries,
Mick. Okay?
That's fine.
I mean, if Rick does decide to come back, we will have to bump you. But, I mean, the ladies won't be impressed because he is the dreamboat. And, well, do you want to play a part in our headline competition as well?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, let's take that off. Brian Shelf's now tutting because he's thinking, why on earth do we have to do this? The headline competition, what we do is I come up with a story. It's a made-up story from the world of video games. And you have to imagine, if that story happened in real life, what would the headline be that would read in the papers? Basically, it's a bit of a pun competition, but you know how it works. Okay, here's today's story. Boy racers from around the world descend on a city, all in a search of tight swimming trunks. So that's boy racers from around the world descend on a city, all in the search of tight swimming trunks. So you have to think of what the headline would be. It's related to video games. Mm-hmm. It's a well-known franchise. I'm gonna come to you at the end. You've got to think of one, basically.
All right,
yeah.
Okay.
And could it possibly be bakers that have turned up looking for these swimming trunks as well?
Yes, it could well be related. I think Brian Shelf might have this one. You see, this competition does work. It's just a case of getting into the right frame of mind. So that's the headline competition. Boy racers from around the world descend on a city, all in the search of tight swimming trunks. If you're listening to this on your MP3 player on iTunes and so on your PC, play along, see if you can work it out in the next sort of 20 minutes or so. It's time to do the news. Okay, well, I'll tell you what, we'll start with PlayStation 3 Slim, the PS3 Slim. It's out, it's like the old PS3, only thinner. And it sold 40,000 in the first week. That's sort of like a 999% jump, apparently, in PS3 sales. Brian Shelf, are you surprised by that? I actually think a lot of people have been hanging on, waiting for this to come out, obviously with a slightly better price tag as well.
I was thinking, what's that new handheld one that they launched as well? You see, I'm really up on PlayStation.
PSP Go?
Oh, Something like that. That's what I was thinking. Oh, the Slim is like the one that doesn't look quite so much like a George Foreman grill, isn't it?
Yeah, that was the thing. The PS3 was massive, wasn't it? It was a great big giant of a thing. It's got everything in there, but it's thinner.
Yeah, wait. I can understand that the price, I think, is the key thing, though. They brought the price down to something that's a little bit more reasonable.
£250.
Well, yeah, it's still perhaps a little bit the top end of the market, but you know, you can see that people finally actually buying it. What always amazes me though is they push things on it like, hey, you can surf the internet on it, and and it's got a YouTube channel, and you're like, yeah, but so's everything else I've got. So's all the other things. I've got an iPod Touch that I use for all that in front of the telly. I don't need to crank up a big machine.
That was the thing that really disappointed me actually. From the adverts, you sort of think, oh, it's going to be the brand new PlayStation 3. They'll really push, you know, maybe the stuff they've got exclusive to PlayStation. Instead, they went for Little Big Planet, which of course is an exclusive, but it's sort of aimed at the kids market. There was SingStar, and there was the quiz one. Is it Buzz or whatever it's called? They were going for the family market, and I thought, you know what, families who want to get a console, they've already got a Nintendo Wii, they've already got one. And what they haven't done, I thought rather bizarrely, anyone who knows who's trying to get a Blu-ray player at the moment, you've got to pay sort of like 200-250 quid, and no one's gone, PlayStation 3 is one of the best Blu-ray players you can get on the market. I know a lot of my friends have got it, and they play multimedia on it. It'll play virtually anything. And they're not using that as a marketing tool at all. And I'm not quite sure why, because it's Sony, and Blu-ray is a Sony product as well.
Yeah, well, it's because the Wii's selling so well. And they think, why is the Wii sell so well? Oh, because families play it. Let's convince families that this is a family console, and then they'll buy it. So, you know, it's just marketing that, isn't it? That they erred.
My thought on the whole family market is, as I say though, I think families will buy one console every sort of 5-6 years. They've already got the Wii. Most of people have been playing on Wii Sports, played it for 2 weeks, won't play it again because they've sort of jumped on the bandwagon. They're not going to go, we'll buy another console, because they'll just go, well, we got the Wii 6 months ago. We only played on it for a month anyway because they saw Wii tennis round at their friend Tarquin's house, sort of thing. Jay, RPS3 man, presumably you got the fat version.
I've got the fat version in ours, sitting in ours, the 60 gig fat version. I do agree with the PS3 looking a bit slimmer. I think it will be a big selling point. But I've heard rumours, I don't know whether it's true or not, that the PS3 Slim is not backwards compatible. So I think that'll be a major downfall for it, really.
It doesn't play the PS2 games.
Yeah, it doesn't play PS2 or PS1 games. It's mainly for PS3 owners, really, with the PS3
games. That was the big thing, wasn't it, when the PS3 came out, that, you know, in this country, it wasn't launched with whatever it was called, the reality chip or something, which would allow you to do all those backwards compatible things. And because they were trying to squeeze every last penny out of an incredibly expensive to produce machine, that they took that out. So it wouldn't surprise me if it's not backwards compatible. And also, it's because, you know, I'm as guilty as this for anyone. I pretty much use my Xbox 360 now for DLC. I just go through and download games for like 7 or 8 quid. So, you know, they're shooting themselves in the foot if they do make it backwards compatible. Anyway, because they can always just sell for 6 quid some of their old games anyway. So
yeah, let's talk about DLC. Actually, one of the big DLC titles reviewed on A Link to the Cast over the last few months has been the GTA Lost and the Damned GTA 4 downloadable content. It was all based in the world of GTA 4. October the 29th, some big news: The Ballad of Gay Tony appears on Xbox 360.
I've seen the trail for this as well. It looks really, really good. I think it looks a lot more involved than Lost in the Damned. Lost in the Damned was good, but because it was on bikes, that was somewhat annoying.
Yeah, I found that as well. You were just driving around on bikes doing the old formation thing for hours and hours, weren't you?
Yeah, it didn't seem to be quite as involving as it could have been. The trail for The Ballad of Gay Tony looks fantastic, and it looks being back to being in cars, which is fantastic.
Yeah,
so
I think they do. I think they do trailers very well for GTA. Was it Liberty City? Was it Vice City Stories? It had Paradise City running underneath, and it was absolutely fantastic. I forget which GTA title. It obviously wasn't that good because I can't remember which one it was, but it was a major
It was Vice City.
Yeah. And it had Guns N' Roses over the top, and I thought, you know what, it actually set the tone really well. The Ballad of Gay Tony. Brian Shelliff, you've got some news about an interview we've got coming up on that.
I was going to say, we've got Laszlo again, haven't we?
Laszlo. The man behind Grand Theft Auto. You know what? The other day, I found my PlayStation 1 original version of Grand Theft Auto.
Actually, I have been playing it recently as well.
And it was, of course, the top-down version. Now, Grand Theft Auto, I'm not sure if I remember this correctly. Grand Theft Auto 2 came out with a London edition.
It did.
If I remembered that correctly.
Yeah, you're
now,
right.
I was thinking, right, I think we should ask him whether or not there are any other UK editions in the offing. Because I think, for instance, GTA Liverpool would be great. Imagine that the views you get, the sort of cityscapes that you see. I think Liverpool, for instance, as a UK city, would be perfect for a Grand Theft Auto special. I think we should pin him down to that, literally,
and get
him to make the game. Yeah,
Liverpool sounds like a really good idea. But you know, would you want... the thing is, you've got to ask yourself, obviously the big money that was spent on GTA 4 is creating this virtual world, and they're milking it by just using that engine to put new stories in it.
The reason I say Liverpool, it's got buildings which are iconic. It's got the River Mersey, so you've got the water elements. I just think if you call it GTA Mersey City or something like that...
Yeah, where would they start though? Over in the Wirral and then move into the city, would they?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think that will work because there's the ways of breaking it out, you know. Maybe they start over by Formby Point at the Red Squirrel Sanctuary, you know, and you can't get past that level because you've not got the pass to go through the Red Squirrel Zone. You know, it could all work unless you get maybe a chopper at the RAF base at Southport. You never know. These things could work. Finally, from a news point of view, great news for Wii owners. You'll be loving this. Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare is coming to Wii. Now, who can remember what year that appeared on other consoles?
Ages ago. Two or three years ago, was it?
Bearing in mind, we're pushing towards the end of 2000. It came out in 2007. So Modern Warfare 2 is coming out, I think, on both 360 and PS3 for Christmas.
Yeah.
And instead, for Wii, we're not even going to have Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. It's going to be Call of Duty Modern Warfare. So the 4 isn't... it's going to be a Wii port of the original Modern Warfare, launching on the same day as Modern Warfare 2. So in November, we will get an old game, and PS3 play and Xbox owners will get the new game. And I just think, why is that taking so long to happen? It's really bizarre. Actually, World at War on Wii plays really well, and it's quite an enjoyable game. But sort of, as a Wii fan, you feel a bit begrudged the fact that other gamers get a better game, which is obviously going to be an improvement on the previous one.
Well, it just shows where it lies with the Wii, though, the developers, I suppose, if you want to give you an old game.
Well, they don't care.
Precisely.
That's the point, I think.
It's a graphical thing as well, isn't it? That, you know, everybody knows that the Wii is not the greatest graphics machine in the world. It's not great at shifting huge amounts of polygons all over the place. So, you know, it's easier to go for a lower resolution game and put it on there.
Absolutely. So there you go. That's the news. PS3 Slim comes out with an 1,000% increase in sales. Wii owners finally get the chance to get hold of Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. And the other story that we brought you is that GTA 4, the Ballad of Gay Tony, comes to Xbox 360 on October the 29th, and we'll have an exclusive interview with Laszlo as part of the next episode, or rather the episode after, right here on A Link to the Cast.
I'll tell you what, just in slight news things, I'll tell you what I thought was quite interesting, and we're not going to look at the games this cast, probably next cast we will, but you couldn't move for Beatles the other week.
This is my spoiler. You've spoiled it.
What?
This was going to be my big sell. That was just coming up. Hang on, play a jingle and I'll kick it in. Okay, so it's A Link to the Cast on your MP3 player on download and possibly on your PC as well. Thanks for joining us. Next time around, instead of doing an update cast, because we've sort of been to-ing and fro-ing and because Rick's done one, we're going to have another full-on podcast, and it's certainly going to have sort of a musical flavour to it. We're going to have reviews of Guitar Hero 5 and it made a lot of headlines, Rock Band Beatles as well. We'll have an in-depth look at that. We're also going to be talking to the editor of Word Magazine, who's going to be telling us about how the music industry is finally jumping in bed with video games. Will Ricardo be here for that? We're not sure, but Rock Band Beatles has been bizarre, the amount of coverage that's actually received.
Well, this is weird. It was Beatles, 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 Beatles everywhere. You asked on your radio show, is this the most hotly anticipated game of all time? Well, no.
I mean, yeah.
But I'll tell you what's quite interesting. If you actually have a look at the sales figures, Guitar Heroes thrashed it.
Yeah.
Completely.
It's interesting because obviously people go, oh, you can play the Beatles in a video game. Now, nobody went, oh, you can play Aerosmith or Metallica in a video game when their sort of respective own versions came out. People go, it's the most anticipated game of all time. I think it wasn't even in the Amazon pre-order chart. Mm. It wasn't even in there. And I think it creeped in at number, I think it hit number 8. I think the great thing for me about it is first of all, the visuals look great. I don't want to spoil the review that we're going to do for the next time around. Visuals are great, and it's the instruments for me which just have that extra element. Of course, you could never get hold of the bass for Guitar Hero World Tour or for 3. You can now get the actual Macca Huffner bass, which I think is absolute class.
Cool. Well, also as well, next time I'll be able to finally reveal, after years and years of reading the online flaming wars between Rock Band and Guitar Hero fans, just which game is better. And I think you'll find the results surprising.
And yet, do you have the answer? I have the answer.
I have the definitive answer.
How exciting. Yeah. I look forward to it. Even I'm going to listen to that. you're listening to A Link to the Cast. Ricardo's not here. He walked out earlier. But, he's done an interview for us, so we can still play that. I don't think he owns the intellectual rights to it. So Ricardo has been to meet Chris Hoy, the Olympic medal winner, triple Olympic medal winner. And here's how they got on.
Okay, this is A Link to the Cast online, on download and on your MP3 player. Now, long-term listeners will be more than aware of how we're all up for games, breaking down boundaries and trying something new. So back in May, when EA Sports Active was released, we were more than happy to cover it online. But it seems that the fitness phenomenon is really getting up to top speed now, as another high-profile name gives the game his backing. So I'd like to welcome none other than the most successful man to take to the Olympic Velodrome, Scotland's own superstar cyclist, Sir Chris Hoy, to the show. Chris, welcome to A Link to the Cast.
Thank you.
Okay, so what made you want to get involved with EA Sports Active?
Well, I first heard about it from a teammate of mine, and she was going about this new product that she'd heard about, and she was trying as part of her rehab from an injury. And I had a look at it, and I thought it was fantastic. And it was my girlfriend, or my fiance now, actually. She was undergoing a bit of rehab herself, and she wasn't able to do full on running and full on exercise to begin with. And there's a 30-day program in the product, which starts off very gently and it builds up over the period of the month. And I thought it'd be a great thing for her, so I bought this EA Sports Active for her, and she's gone from strength to strength. And I just think it's a great way for people who maybe are a little bit either intimidated of going to gyms, or they haven't got the time, or even my sister, she's just recently had a baby, and she can't leave the house because she's got to take her baby Anna with her, and so basically, by standing in front of the TV, she can get a proper workout and feel like she's getting healthy.
Do you think it would actually be possible for, you know, potential gold medal winners of the future to be actually getting a good training workout using software like this, like, say, in their own bedrooms? Could they be doing their own training regime at home?
I think it's more aimed at the general population. You know, when you're talking about performing at the very highest level, it has to be very, very specific, and it has to be tailored towards that sport. And this is more geared towards people who are just finding it difficult to get access to exercise and to stay fit and healthy. So it's more of a fitness product than a real performance product, but it certainly has its place. And like I say, about in terms of rehab and in terms of, you know, getting back from injury, I think it's very, very useful.
I think it's fair to say, and I'm not a big, you know, condoner of this kind of attitude, but I think it's fair to say that gaming has still quite a lot of the stereotypes about it. I think a lot of people see the games industry and they kind of just think of slightly nerdy boys maybe staying in their bedrooms and playing games all day with like a aversion to sunlight. Well, do you see this kind of stereotype changing at all at the moment?
Yeah, definitely. You know, you look at most of many of the products that are out now are geared towards the female end of the market as well. You know, it's more of a incorporating the whole family of all ages. It's not just about, as you say, the kind of teenage boys in their bedroom. I think it's far more acceptable and far more widespread now. And moving away from games into fitness products like the EA Sports Active, I think that's another key factor in that. It's making the most of the technology that's out there now.
Mm. And of course, like you were saying about the technology aspect of it, being able to perform your own fitness routines in your home and actually track the progress that you're making has got to be of great worth to people with, you know, busy lifestyles these days.
Yeah, definitely. And I think a big part of it is that kind of progress, logging your process and having this chart or this means by which you can actually see how you're getting on. It's not just plodding around in front of your TV. You're actually seeing the number of calories burnt. You're seeing how your fitness levels are going up, and that keeps you motivated. That keeps you involved and committing to a program. And I think that's the biggest key for people.
Putting the fitness stuff to one side, when you get back from a, you know, a hard training session, you just want to relax with your fiance. Do you, the two of you, play any games together? Have you got a console yourself?
I do have a console. I've got the Wii, obviously, yeah. And I also have a PlayStation. I'm kind of more into my driving games, really. That's, yeah, I've not been a massive gamer when I was younger, But I think it was games like Gran Turismo and also Colin McRae Rally that really kind of I really enjoyed. And I just can't believe the accuracy of some of these games. You know, when you watch a Grand Prix, you watch the Monaco Grand Prix, and then you realise that you know exactly what gear you should be in this corner.
You can almost hear the gear that you should be in.
It's amazing. You know, the accuracy of it is just incredible. And you hear that some of the drivers that have never raced, like I believe Lewis Hamilton in his first year when he was competing was actually practicing on the PlayStation because he'd never actually raced in some of these circuits, and they were so lifelike that he was able to kind of
get some practice
away from the car. It is amazing, yeah.
So while Lewis might be getting his, you know, training laps done on the console back in the office or something, you don't think that you could actually get an athlete doing that with a, you know, a running product, perhaps? It's a bit different, you're saying.
It's a bit different. I think there are certain sports and certain things that the games and the fitness products can really, really be very specific for. But I think it's just really exciting to see how far the games have come. You know, I mean, I'm old enough to remember when, you know, Space Invaders were out and just all the very basic games back in the early days, Pac-Man and stuff, and just to see what's happened, it really is amazing.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. You're talking to someone who's a massive fan of the Gran Turismo series as well. I can't wait for the new one. It's absolutely photorealistic. It's unbelievable.
I know, it's incredible.
It's been great speaking to you, and I hope that more people will change their stereotypical images of, you know, gamers, and maybe be prepared to get a bit involved, because it's not just about, you know, getting people for fitness from my side of things. You know, as soon as somebody's got a Wii, then they're perhaps a little bit more interested in the games industry. They'll play a few more things, and then, you know, there'll be more gamers online for us to maybe race against.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Well, it's been great talking to you. Thank you very much, and all the best for your preps for 2012 as well. You got big hopes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we've got big
Fingers
hopes.
Crossed. No pressure.
No. All right, thanks again.
Great.
So it's review time on A Link to the Cast. We've got a number of reviews coming up. I'm going to be talking about Wii Sports Resort, which is top in the charts at the moment on Nintendo Wii. Just above Wolfenstein on PS3, which Jay's going to be bringing us shortly as well. And Brian Shelfer's got, he's got a conundrum in terms of the games that he's going to be reviewing, so we'll touch on that as well. Let's start with Wii Sports Resort, though. It's basically Wii Sports 2. Of course, Wii Sports came with the Nintendo Wii, so back end of 2006, people played it and played it today. The tennis, the bowling, the golf, and the other one which nobody really cared about, the boxing. This is a brand new version. Is it better in every way? In most cases, I would actually say, yeah. Of course, the big thing that this comes with is Wii Motion Plus, which for anyone who hasn't seen it, is a new adapter, probably 2-3 centimetres squared. It's like a little cube which sits on the bottom of your Wiimote, just plugs in. You can then plug your nunchuck into that. And what it gives you is one-to-one movement, basically. And they've taken full advantage of this as part of Wii Sports Resort. I'll give you the games involved, because there's much more than the few that we had on Wii Sports. We've got Swordplay, and that's broken down into sort of a number of different ones. Chop, Duel, and Showdown. We've got Wakeboarding, Frisbee. That includes Frisbee Golf and Frisbee Dog, which is the thing that claimed a lot of the headlines. Archery, basketball, table tennis, a new version of golf, but you can play the old golf on there as well. A new version of bowling, which is very similar to the old version of bowling. Power cruising as well. We've got canoeing, cycling, and there's an air sports section as well. That's sort of got a Pilot Wings vibe to it as well. In terms of, I'll start on Swordplay. I'll be very quick as I race through these. Great fun, one-to-one movement. Does it work? I would have to say, yeah. Is it fun? Yes, it's very much fun. You can play as a multiplayer. Multiplayer is fantastic. Wakeboarding is the one where you jump over waves. Not fantastic. Frisbee is really good. If you're talking one-to-one movement, you're physically almost throwing the frisbee. You then have to sort of aim for targets. A dog will try and catch it. It's a great little classic. For me, it's like classic Nintendo. Cute little dog and little me's in the background jumping up and cheering. I thought that was great. The archery, I'll say about the archery is that it's better than Mario and Sonic at the Olympics archery. From the basketball, it's better than Mario Slam Basketball on DS, I'll say that. Table tennis, that's really good. It's actually better than Wii Tennis, and it's also better than the table tennis you see on Wii Play. Golf is better than the Wii Sports just because you've got more give, because you've got more momentum. You can do spins, cutbacks, and all that sort of stuff. And of course, there's more courses. Bowling, there's more pins, so that's better. Power cruising, not too sure about that one. Same with canoeing, I'm not blown away with. Cycling, yeah, that's okay. And air sports is fantastic. It has got that sort of original Pilot Wings vibe. So in terms of the games, I'm going to say they're great. they pretty much have to be picked up and played, but I would strongly recommend doing so. 7 or 8 hits in terms of the games, maybe a couple of misses. Not too fussed about Power Cruising, but that's absolutely fine. What I would say, though, is no online content. I don't know why there's not a single amount of online content on there. I think there probably could have been something in there where you could have maybe had just maybe even comparing scores, anything like that. At the moment, no online content there. The other thing for me, which is quite exciting, is for the first time, Nintendo have sort of taken the resort, Woohoo Island, as it's called. Woohoo Island is the same island from Wii Fit, which is very similar to Delfino Island, which was on Super Mario Sunshine, which features in Mario Kart as well. It's all sort of similar sort of place. What they've done, they've almost made Woohoo Island a character. So you get to sort of search that. You recognise it. Certainly if you've played Wii Fit, it's all the same island. The same features are there as well, which I actually think is quite interesting. And there's a couple of teasers on there where you can, for instance, when you're doing the air sports and you're flying, you fly through a sort of a round circular cave, and he goes, this looks like it could be a pathway to another world. And you think, actually, Nintendo are looking at this and they're thinking, how can we use this island and almost make the island a character? So I would say it's one of those games that's, for a start-off, it's great value. There's loads of stuff on there. You'll get plenty of time on it as well. You can get, you know, your pro status, then you've got your sort of expert status as well. So there's things to play for. If you want to get pro status on all these and improve and improve and improve, you're talking about hours and hours and hours of play, which I think is actually pretty good. Wii Motion Plus, it bodes very well for that, just because you get that great one-to-one movement. I was really impressed with it. I would recommend it. What I would say, though, is watch out for the price. I picked this up, actually, I was so keen to get hold of it. I actually went down and bought it on day one, and I was very careful where I bought it, because I looked online and you were talking sort of in some places $48.99, $47.99. I have seen it, though, it's on offer in certain places. You can find deals online around about $34.99. Now, bearing in mind that this Wii Motion Plus accessory is going to be compatible with a lot of future games, Red Steel 2, for instance, is going to be coming out towards the end of the year or maybe early next year. That's going to be sort of included as well. $34.99, I paid for it. I was happy with that price. If you can get it at that price, you've found yourself a bargain. The question is, though...
What's the question?
What would make you stop playing it, Mick?
What would make me stop playing? Well, I'll tell you about this. On Saturday, I had a bit of toilet trauma. We like a bit of toilet humour on the cast, but basically my toilet broke and water started spilling out of the cistern down the wall and into my kitchen, which listeners of the cast will know is new. So it was a bit of a nightmare, and we tried to fix it and we did quite a bad job of it. So I got a plumber in, and yesterday I was sort of really hammering Wii Sports Resort because I wanted to get as far in there as possible so I could get the fullest review out there, and I was playing it for maybe 3-4 hours. In the meantime, the plumber was in fixing the toilet, and I was playing table tennis, and I've got fairly decent status on there. And he came down and he said, I fixed it and it's got a new flush on there. So what would make me stop playing? The chance to go and see the new flush on my toilet, and that will make me stop playing Wii Sports Resort. I would strongly recommend it. It's a great game. It's really pick up and playable. You can be playing one game, you can get out and get into another game literally within 30 seconds.
It's got like that great party atmosphere that most Wii games have with
it has. It's just got that Nintendo charm which other games which try to be like this just lack.
I think one of the questions is, Mick, how much of a sweat did you wake up on it?
You know what, compared to Wii Fit, now I'm the full champion Wii Fit, so it's nothing compared to Wii Fit. But for instance, cycling, you're doing probably almost like you're running. You know, you can hear in my voice the sort of action that I'm doing there. There's the canoeing, so you sort of side to side. You got a canoe, so there's those which are a little bit sort of. They stretch you a little bit. Table tennis, so you can play it sitting down. Wii Sports, a lot of the thing was you felt almost the need to stand up. For this, you can sit down or at least perch on the end of your chair. Okay, so that's my review of Wii Sports Resort. That's top of the charts at the moment in terms of the biggest selling games in the UK. Just pipping Wolfenstein, which I think has sort of taken advantage of the fact that the PS3 has gone a bit mental in terms of people buying it and people picking up new games with it as well. A lot of people have picked up Wolfenstein. Somebody who's been reviewing it for us, I'll just remind you, it's Jay. It's the Dreamboat. He's a male model, and he joins us on the cast because Ricardo, a little earlier, took umbrance with something that... That Brian Shelf said, and Jay's here now. Maybe Rick will return one day, but for now, Jay, Wolfenstein.
Okay, I'll break it down. It's first game that was released in about 6-7 years' time, I think, from ID and Raven Software, published by Activision. Basically, it starts this American GI who's as tough as nails, who's got a very dodgy first name, BJ Barakowitz, his name is, gets dropped in the middle of a German city called Eisenstadt, where he has to infiltrate and stop the Nazi regime, basically called, they're developing like this thing called Black Sun Energy, and you find a veil very early on. It's like a little medallion, and you get transported to this world called Veil. And it makes you do all kinds of things and has all secret crystals and powers that come with it later. Basically, you get to this story, you go to various missions in the game, during the city called drop-off points, you know, you jump off there, go to do a mission, come do a mission, shoot a lot of Nazis, and so on and so forth. But what I thought about this game was the supernatural element I thought was brilliant to it. It really adds an extra dimension because there's a lot of standard grade...
Space Marine first-person shooters.
Yeah, basically Space Marine first-person shooters. And there's a lot of standard World War II shooters, like you got, you know, your likes of Medal of Honors, Call of Duties, and the supernatural element really helps to this because during the time when you're between shooting Nazis with grenades, Uzis, particle cannons, you name it, you get upgrades with this veil, so you get empowerments in it. So during through the level, you have the empowerment to shoot through walls. You also have an empowerment to have a shield, which blocks various bullets, deflects it. And you also have the empowerment to slow time, like a kind of a Matrix-style bullet time. You see bullets fly past you. And you also have a different world you can go into, which unlocks different secrets throughout it. So you can walk through walls, see enemies' weak points. And also throughout the game, you get various upgraded guns, which kind of keeps it going, I thought, because you got to collect gold and intel, and throughout you get, you know, you go to the black market that's available in the city and you upgrade your weapons so you can have sniper rifles, silencers, big bores they call, which like makes the gun more powerful. And throughout as well you get these weapons that obviously the Nazis have been working on. One's called a particle cannon, which is a bit like, you know, the Ghostbusters proton pack. It just rips through anything, basically. It's a beautiful weapon to watch. It turns people into vapor, bones, you name it.
If you read a lot of the forums, a lot of the people who were saying, yeah, this great game, the main sort of plus point is the weaponry and the amount of choice you've got.
It is the weaponry. Like, that's what kept me going, because you only have a length of about 6-7 weapons throughout. And, you know, upgrading the weapons is beautiful. You get like, a particle cannon, which blows through anything. It fires, like, a projectile, like a blue projectile, just goes right through. An electro-Tesla gun, which spins around and electrocutes. It fires, like, an electric bolt, which basically just zaps any Nazi in range.
Nazi scum.
And that's about it, really. As far as the game goes, I started it very early on and blitzed it in about 6-7 hours.
Is that right?
It was a very short game, but that's because I was hammering my way through it. It's got one of those things, you know, where you just pick up the pad straight away, put it on, and it has an auto-save feature, so you don't know when you stop and when you start. You just blast your way through it, through all of it.
7 hours, that's not really enough for a game for me now, though.
No.
Well, actually, I tell a lie there. That's a complete and utter lie, because we'll get onto that in a second.
But you're paying full price for that, aren't you?
Yeah. I know. That's my only problem. You know, you're playing about 40, 50 quid for a game that lasts 7 hours. You don't really get much bang for your buck, if you ask me. And also, the multiplayer on it goes a little retro as well. It, like, slows down to only 3 game modes. And also, you know, the frame rate drops in the multiplayer.
Yeah, see, that's the problem when you've got, like, a great first-person experience and then multiplayer. If you get anything less of the experience, you sort of think,
you're sort of hammering down. You're like, oh, you know, was it worth the money? But as a game itself, I thought it was a real good blast. I'd probably say wait for the price to drop down before buying it, because it's a real good blast to play.
What would make you stop playing Wolfenstein on PS3?
What would make me stop playing it? Probably the multiplayer aspect, I'd say. It just took away from the actual first person, and also it's so short that by the time I've done, I've put my pad down and walked away.
What would make you stop playing it? Well, the fact that you've finished it before you'd even started it. That's Jay. He's reviewing our PlayStation 3 games for this episode, because Rick has walked out. Shelf is our Xbox 360 man. And Brian Shelf, well, you've got a conundrum. You've got a dilly of a pickle. Do tell us.
I've got a conundrum. First of all, I'm getting... I'm almost about to get booted out of my studio, so we've got to go really quick. But my conundrum is, you know, I'm labelled as the Xbox 360 reviewer on here, but I'm king of consoles. So
Former king of consoles. You don't have a PlayStation 3 anymore.
I don't have the PlayStation console. I'm vice consort of consoles. But mostly I've
Queen
been playing... I've been playing on my my Wii. But I've got four games to review, so excluding Guitar Hero. That's Xbox 360. I'll review that next time. Batman Arkham Asylum, which I've bought and not played yet, which apparently is fantastic. But quick games, four-word reviews maybe. Monkey Island Special Edition, that's download content on the Xbox 360. Really, really, really good.
Right.
Three of those words are the same. That's great. It's the old game, Secret of Monkey Island, that you had on the PC. All the graphics have been updated. It's great. It's a great flashback to the past if you played it before. If you haven't played it before, it's great. It's a massive big game for like about £7. It's just like a point-and-click adventure, Day of the Tentacle, if you've ever played that. I think along those lines. Now, the new version, Monkey Island Tales Part 1, downloadable content for the Wii.
No, you see, you mentioned this last time around, and I was a little bit excited by this game.
It's a bit rubbish.
Is it?
Well, the problem is not the game itself, but the graphics have got too flashy. They're 3D. And for some reason, I don't know why, it seems to have been programmed by people repeatedly banging their elbows against the keyboard or something. I don't know what. Or they've clogged it up with drool or something. I don't know. But why? It's really slow. It takes forever. And the interface of pointing at stuff isn't particularly good, which you thought would be brilliant on a Wii, because that's what it's made for. You just end up wondering. It's just slightly annoying. And I kind of sort of gave up on that, which is why I went and downloaded the original to play again.
All right,
apparently part two is much better.
All right, so if I was to say to you then, I think you just answered the question, what would make you stop playing?
Monkey Island on the Xbox, the original.
So pick that one up instead.
Yeah, so pick that one up instead. The other two games, other two downloadable content games that I've been playing on the Wii are fantastic, which is Bit Trip Beat. Impossible to explain. Well, it's not impossible to explain. It's just basically Pong in time to music, but it's insanely hard. Little things come across the screen and you tilt your Wii remote to hit your little paddle to bat them back again, and they hit your paddle in time with the music. The more you hit, the higher your multiplier goes. The more you miss, the chances are that you're going to mess up. It's intense. It's the most insane thing. You end up staring at the screen. It's one of those games where you realise you've been playing it for an hour and a half and you've not blinked at all. And it seems to be custom designed to stop epileptics playing it, I think. It's insane the amount of flashing that goes on. I wouldn't go anywhere near it if you're photosensitive. So I've been delighted playing that. Then Bit Trip Core came out and I thought, fantastic, a sequel already, superb. That is the single most insane game I've ever played. It's even harder to explain. You basically got your little crosshair in the middle, you know, your little D-pad, and little bits come across from all four angles of the screen, and you've got to press in the direction that they are and hit another button exactly at the moment they cross the beam. I probably haven't explained it very well there. You can probably find a video of it on YouTube of some little Japanese kid who's scoring 878 million on it. It's the most insane game I've ever played. I haven't even got off level one on that. It's that hard. But they're both about £5 or something, 500 Nintendo points, maybe 800 Nintendo points. Can't remember exactly how many, but I've lost more time to them than anything else, bar Bejeweled Blitz, which is the other thing I've been playing nonstop on Facebook, but we don't review PC games. So,
so what will make you stop playing both of those games, Bejeweled Blitz?
Things make me stop playing Bit Trip Beat and Bit Trip Core is probably an epileptic seizure. I haven't had one yet, but I can feel one brewing. The thing that will make me stop playing Bejeweled Blitz, it'll be when our bosses here realise how much time people are spending on it and put it on the internet filter. So those are the two things that will stop me playing those.
Okay, so they are the reviews, plenty of them, for this episode. Don't forget, next time around, we've got another full-on podcast. We've got a musical flavour to it, including reviews of Guitar Hero 5, that'll be the 360 version. We've got Rock Band Beatles, and an in-depth look at how the music industry is finally jumping in bed with video games. Will Rick be here? We'll find out. Quick flash through the mailbag. Thanks for getting in touch with us through the website, www.linktothecast.co.uk. Hello, lads. Is it worth getting hold of a copy of Rock Band Beatles? I've only played Guitar Guitar Hero before, and not a massive fan of the Beatles. Greg in Glasgow. We'll touch on this in the next podcast. I would say very briefly, get hold of it. It's quite exciting. Visually, I think it's great. It plays very well. You sort of get a newfound appreciation for the Beatles as well by playing it.
If you want a challenge, though, get Metallica on the PS3 one. Far better.
Metallica.
Okay, next one we'll go. We're trying to race through it on Twitter. K Sharp in Wrexham. Have you seen new Professor Layton adverts on TV? Lol. I have actually. Pandora's Box, which is out at the end of September. So hopefully we'll be able to get a couple of copies of that maybe
Nick,
for next time around. What?
Nick, I've got my hands on a copy.
What?
I just don't have a DS.
What?
So I lent it to someone with a DS.
What?
But I'll get it back to you very soon. Got a copy. It's a copy of the American game, but there you go. Yeah, there's one on the way.
What do you mean? You've got a DS?
Yeah, I've lent it to someone, though, haven't I?
Oh, you fool.
Yeah,
okay, well, I look forward to that then. Pandora's Box looks great. It's the cartridge, not the actual size of the cartridge, but inside the cartridge is about 8 times the size of the original. So there's a lot more of the animation stuff, a lot of the music, which was great in the last one. So that's going to be quite good as well. Robin Liverpool, great show. Provides me with hours of entertainment while sitting on the train to and from London. I think you guys should do a real old school retro show and discuss the creation of computers such as the old Atari, right through to the modern day classics. You can discuss the greats like Manic Miner, rides up to modern day wonders such as Gears of War, etc. That's Robin Liverpool.
Do you know what? Rob's there tapping into my clear historical skills, which I showed off last time with my history of Mario Kart, which went... A game got released sometime and I played it. So there we go. So expect to have that Simon Sharma style in-depth look at video games in the future.
Absolutely. I think it's about to close though, depending on when this podcast gets published. There was an exhibition on at the Urbis in Manchester, a video games exhibition. It was absolutely fantastic, but it was really weird to go into a museum of sorts and look at things which I had in my bedroom as exhibits. And it was really odd to see young kids playing on micro machines on the nets and going, oh, look at this. And I was going, get you don't know these courses. Let me on the June buggies. That was great. Also, Pete in Rochdale has been on email-wise. Good day to you, sirs. Because you are a democracy, I have an idea for an Episode B podcast. It's what is the best controller of all time? You could look at consoles as well as peripherals. What do you reckon, Pete in Rochdale? So a couple of people there have been in contact with suggestions for B episodes, which we do sort of after the A episodes. There won't be one for this one because we're going to do a full-on podcast next time. But I like that. What's the best controller of all time? There's so many to choose from.
Probably the Master System one, just simple AB. A
little bit chunky. Brian Shelf, any first thoughts on that one?
Do you know, as much as ugly as it is, I actually find that the Xbox 360 controller sits very well in your hands for no apparent reason.
I might champion the N64 controller.
No, stupid.
Stick in the middle.
The stick in the middle was a big mistake. I'd never quite understood that. Why did he have two sticks on the other side
for one in the middle? I
mean, the analog control on it was great because the PS2 or the PS1 then released their
Everybody controllers.
Everybody nicked it, and the PS1 analog sticks were rubbish. Mm. But they had two of them, so that's two lots of rubbish, which is
and
worse.
And they also released the N-Gage, which tilted for some reason.
The N-Gage was one of the worst ideas in video games history. That sounds great. You know what? We can do that, Pete in Rochdale. Thanks for getting in contact with us. That'll be in maybe a few weeks' time, certainly. Now, if you've got any ideas though for any B episodes, do get in contact with us. We're more than happy. We are a democracy. We will cover your ideas.
Who said that? Who said we're a democracy? I edit it. I can remove whatever I want. I'm going to change that. We are a dictatorship.
I think Barack Obama said that we were a democracy. And he's the king of the world. He does listen to the podcast, actually.
He does.
He emailed. I've got his email. Oh, sorry, we don't have time to get to it, but I'll do Barack Obama's email next time round. Finally, we've got time for the headline competition. Okay, so the headline competition is where we have a bit of a pun down, really. I pick out a story from the world of video games. It's entirely made up. You've got to come up with like a headline. I hope you've been playing along at home. A lot of people hate this game. A lot of people love it, though. More people hate it than love it. Someone who really does love it, though, is Brian Shelf, so I'm going to get him to play along first. The story was this: boy racers from around the world descend on a city all in the search of tight swimming trunks. Are you playing along? Do you know the answer? Boy racers from around the world descend on the city. Hold your horses. All in the search of tight swimming trunks. Brian Shelf, if this was a story, what would the headline be? Bearing in mind that nobody's ever really got this right before.
Well, do you want me to actually do it? Because I know the answer to this. I've thought through your brain patterns, Mick, and I've come up with the exact answer. I want to hear what Jay thinks it might be. No, I want to hear Jay's ideas.
To be honest, Brian, I haven't got a clue what the answer is. This is all you.
The answer is Need for Speedos.
Yay!
I was trying to think of something funnier, but there's not more than one make. There's not more than one famous make of swimwear, or I may be wrong. There is there.
I don't know. There's that all-in-one bodysuit, but Need for all-in-one bodysuits wasn't quite as catchy.
Yeah.
Oh, I am made up with that. Right. The headline competition returns next episode, bigger and better than ever. And Brian Shelf, I have faith in you to get it right next time.
Can I make one up next time?
No. Thanks for joining us on A Link to the Cast. You can get involved on Twitter as well. Just search for A Link to the Cast. You can follow us there. If you follow us, we might follow you as well. You can also see us. We've got a group on Facebook. We need to get some action going on there. Let's create our own status, I think, for A Link to the Cast on Facebook. It's not quite as impressive when it's just a group, is it? Bit rubbish that. Let's change it. Let's get Rick to do it anyway if he returns. And plenty of reviews as well coming up as well. Don't forget, another full-on podcast next time around. Guitar Hero 5 on 360, Rock Band Beatles on Wii, and a look at how the music industry is getting in bed with the video games industry. Finally, will Ricardo be here? Oh, come on, Rick, come back. It's not the same without you. I mean, Dreamboat Jay's here. The ladies love him, let's be honest. But we need to get the team back together.
Yeah, I didn't mean to get you back up then, Rick, however hairy it may be.
Nice one. www.alinktothecast.co.uk. Thanks for joining us. We've been Mick, Jay and Brian Shelf. Producer Adam's here as well. Saying goodbye. Catch you next time. Bye.
Right. Do we actually have to cut out that thing I said about...
Yes.
Oh, but it was so funny. It was satires, Mick.
It was like, burning satires.
It was well done. I'll give them that.
It's like, mock the week. Oh.